Happy New Year's, everyone. This is Shama with Girls and Geese. We're excited to do our very first Ask a Black Belt segment today. We have Olga Leshevska on with us. She will be answering your questions. If you don't know who she is a black belt out of Ireland. She is an amazing competitor, an instructor, and a doctor researcher as well. So if you guys have not tuned in for an Ask a Black Belt previously, how it works is you ask the questions, she answers them, and she will tell you all about her speech. She has a wealth of knowledge to share with you guys. So I hope you guys had a happy new year. It was safe and it was fun. So yay, we got Olga on. Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Happy new year.
Happy new year. Thank you for
good
doing
to see
this.
You.
You too.
My pleasure.
Thank you for jumping on after a night of a lot of fun, I'm sure.
It was very quiet. Like most of us.
I know, we're stuck in quarantine or social distancing.
I know, just at home, really.
So tell everybody out there just a little bit something about yourself. I kind of told them a little bit, but if you want to tell them a little bit more.
Okay, sure. So my name is Olga. I am originally from Russia, but the last 15 years or so, I've been around elsewhere in Europe, so mostly in the Netherlands and in Ireland, so kind of in between two countries. And I started jiu-jitsu over 15 years ago, and I got black belt in 2015. 2010 was judo black belt, so 2015 was jiu-jitsu black belt, 5 years later. Since then I keep on training. I have my girls group. At the moment it's kind of all post, you understand, but I like to teach jiu-jitsu as well. I like to compete, you know, like at the moment it's all quiet, but hopefully we get back to normal very soon.
yes, we're hoping.
I have just a bit of patience, you know.
Yeah. How did you find jiu-jitsu? Did you find jiu-jitsu while you were in Russia or while you were in the Netherlands?
I actually started when I was in the Netherlands, and it was like I keep saying same story. It was really like a, you know, being in the right place in the right time. You know, I didn't really know what it was, and I didn't know I would really, you know, like it so much. I was just curious, and I said, like, oh, what's it about? I just go and I check it out. I was just like, I had just evening free from all other sport activities I was always doing. You know, I was dancing at the time and doing all kinds of things. And when I got there, I saw all the cool people coming in and like to join the class, and I almost went home because I was intimidated. I saw like men, like wealthy, like, you know, and I was really kind of intimidated. And then I was about to go, and then coach came out and he saw me and he said, oh, you knew you want to join. I said, no, I want just to, you know, to have a look. He said, no, you can't watch, you need to join. I said, okay. And the funny thing is that they had it was a university club, so they had geese to borrow, you know, like for people who don't have their own stuff. So he said, just go there, grab a gee, grab a belt and come back. It's like, okay, fine. So I got back, we started doing a warm up, and I was terrible. And then he looked at me and he said, Olga, what belt are you? And I looked at my belt, it was some colored belt, I don't know. I said, I don't know. She said, why are you wearing colored belt? I said, I don't know. So I was so, like, I was crazy. I just got something first out of the box, you know.
You're like, this is
good enough. And that's it. And I never stopped. And then, like a moral of the story is, you don't know what it is until you try it, really. And if someone would tell me, oh, it's going to be, you know, amazing and you're going to have it for your life and all that, I would be like, I wouldn't believe. So like now when people, I try to get new members, you know, I say, come and try. And they say, oh, no, I don't like fighting. I don't like punching. It's like, we don't punch, we don't fight. Just come and try. And if you don't like it, I will never ask you again, because it is just like that. You need to try it. And then you know what it is. It was just my own experience.
So did judo come later? Judo was
At the same time, really, I started jiu-jitsu there, and then it was not enough for me. I wanted more training, and then I asked, what else can I do? And my coach at the time, he said, oh, there is a judo on like Monday night or something. It's always the same. You will like it. I was like, okay, cool. So I just went, and it was just like that. And I think, like, people often ask me what I prefer, and I suppose this question will come up at some stage. But I think they're so complementary that it doesn't. For me, it's kind of the same. Different rules impose different game, but they really complement each other. So so in that side, that way I was kind of always training, you know, on the side, both of them. I think until I got my black belt in judo, like I did like 50-50, and then I kind of shifted more towards jiu-jitsu, maybe 80-20, like percent. And then I picked up more judo again in last year, 2019. So now it was not last year, but year before, like over a year ago, just slightly over a year. I decided to do some big event for judo just to try, because I've never competed international. It was always kind of like a national event. Mm-hmm. And we went to the worlds, and I was completely like, you know, you're there, you don't know anybody. It's amazing. You don't know any fighters. You don't know any names, any big names. You don't care. You are just like for fun. And I did well. I got bronze. I was like, yeah, so like, oh, wow. And I think it's like for jiu-jitsu, it's almost impossible going somewhere on event without knowing people you fight. Because it's a small community and we fight each other all the time. Unless you travel far away, you might get someone new. But then, same category, same weight, you're kind of limited to the same people, you know what I mean? in judo, more females, and I had like 10 women, and I didn't know anybody, obviously, because I just don't keep track on them, and it was amazing. Like, maybe I would be intimidated by knowing that someone is really good at something, and then it would affect my performance, but it didn't, because I didn't know. I was naive, like.
Yeah,
and it is the best, but then how do you switch off your brain and jiu-jitsu when you know them, like, you know?
No, I understand. Back in the day, I've had to compete with Mackenzie and Bia and Angelica when they were in their purples.
Yeah.
And it was like, but I didn't know who they were then, so it helped.
Oh, it's great. It's great. Enjoy that. That's the best. So, and in a way, when they're like at jiu-jitsu, I was through phases when you go as a beginner, like, you know, blue belt, purple belt, you don't care, you just go and you face whoever. Then I started kind of looking up people, like about brown belt time, and then I said, like, no point, I don't do that anymore. And as a black belt, I never look up. First of all, most of them you know anyway, and secondly, it's just, it affects you. Like, you just go there, do yourself, do your best, and if your best is enough to be the best on the day, then it is what it is, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So tell us, like, give us a little idea. What was jiu-jitsu like in Europe? And I know Europe's huge, but in your little window into that area, what was it like 15 years ago?
Yeah.
Being a woman.
Yes, it is. Like, when I started jiu-jitsu, it was not even officially called Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Like, now I know it was, because what I learned there, it's exactly the same what we would teach now, like white belts. We did a bit of self-defense on top of it, which is a bonus, but we should really be teaching some self-defense, I think, like, you know, to white belts and blue belts, whoever. I think it's a part of it, but it's a separate question anyway. So back then, like, when I started training, like, obviously, I think most girls would know now, like, you know, I only had one more girl in my gym, and I was lucky. I was competing with guys up until purple belt, like against guys, in the guys categories, like weight categories. And it was like my reality. You either go on competition and you fight whoever is there, or you don't. Because if they say there are no girls to compete, then you're just staying at home, you know what I mean? So, so I went through white, blue, and purple belt phases fighting just men. And so like back then, you know, there were not many people in general, and way less female, that's for sure. And then, like, even like 10 years later, me looking back, or now 15 years, going to the same events we had back then, and I see amazing, like up until brown belts, like categories, like, there are a few fighters in each of them, so which is amazing. Like it grows really like rapidly.
What is it like now? I see all these like women's camps popping up and these women's teams and what how and looking back, did you ever think that it would evolve into what it's shaping up to be?
I could never imagine, to be honest with you, because first of all, we started very small. Like, there are a few groups, a few bunch of guys just wrestling, and some local events, just going to another club or just a few clubs together doing some event like of maybe like 200 people or something. And now these days is like, 1,000, 5,000 if it's a European or something. I know it's huge. And
Yeah.
people are new people. Like, of course, some people stop it after some time, but same people kind of travel through, go through the years. And it's like, yeah, it's amazing. No, I wouldn't, if someone told me like back then that it would develop this way, I probably wouldn't believe, because like, why would it,
Yeah, absolutely. So you've traveled. I mean, I met you in the US. I think I met you in the Pacific Northwest when you happened to be up there and you came to one of our events. What is it like for you, when you are able to kind of travel and go to these different areas? And what is something that you really take with you when you come back from all these experiences? I know they're so different.
Yeah, I think I take away well, many things, obviously, but apart from this very special thing is like maybe friendship, because I have so many friends from all around the world from jiu-jitsu. Like even like 10 years ago, me traveling to Canada, I was training there with guys, and I'm still in touch with the same people. Or me being to France, like I think it was 2010 again, and I'm still in touch with people. We go on competitions and we meet each other and we are chatting away. So it's like, I think it's not just like technical part that you are getting better at what you do, but it's also that you expand your kind of friendship, like network in a way. And then wherever you go, I feel like welcome. I know, oh, this is a place I know those guys. And if I don't know, I'm just looking it up and I go and I meet people. It's always very easy. You just come and you say, hi, I'm Olga. Can I join you? And nobody never told me, no, you can't. People were excited. They would open their doors and they say, oh, come again. And they would entertain me. And it's perfect. Like, this is how you should treat each other.
Yeah, outside of the jujitsu world.
Yeah, that's it. And obviously, I think it's nice. Like, obviously, we meet a lot of people like on competitions, but it's very different. It is a stressful atmosphere, and many people like don't get to know. Well, we don't get to know each other because we are only focusing on doing our thing. And when it's done, we might or might not chat to each other, and then you kind of don't have like that the same connection. But then if you start kind of meeting each other at like, seminars or some training camps, this is when it's kind of getting more, relaxing, and then you get to know each other, which is great. Yeah.
So of all your experiences of your of traveling and meeting all these people, what are if you were to, take a I'm sure you have a lot of experiences that you hold dear to your heart, but if you were to pick just one that really kind of stands out to you, what would that be?
Maybe for competition kind of experience would be 2016. It's the same time we met, like after Worlds in Las Vegas, because it was my first time being there, and it was the first year of me competing as a black belt, because I got my black belt 2015, and 2016 summer, it was just half a year after I got it. Yes, I it was the same kind of, you go there, you don't know what to expect, and my preparation was, I felt good. I felt like, I was on same on good level, and I got first, which was amazing. Like it was beyond my expectations. Of course,
Yay.
you expect, you want to do well, but you don't know, what it is. Yeah, so it's probably one of the kind of, standing like events which I probably would remember. Like second time is still fun, and third time is fun, but it's second time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. The first time is that what you could tell your grandchildren about.
Exactly. That's it. Yeah. And then I was training there in the gym, and they told me about your event, Girls and Geese, and it was just like, well, for me it was coincidence. I was like, oh yes, and I was, oh my god, over 100 women training on the mat, and we were like with I think six black belts women, and or yeah. maybe more. I don't remember, and I was like, wow, it was amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah. It's been a different the progression in the States is kind of like slowly but steadily, but now it seems like the trajectory is just kind of going. There's so many women, it's so many acceptable to, you know, fathers are bringing their daughters in, husbands are bringing their wives, you know, so you get all these, so many more women coming into it. So it's been really cool over the past 15 years to see in the US.
Yeah,
as
even
well.
Like back then, for me, US was is and still is, I think, step ahead in terms of numbers and how many people are kind of, you know, involved. Like I know Europe is exploding, but we are kind of behind, you know.
Yeah, that's okay.
In that respect, no, it's good. Yeah, exactly. We don't mind.
It's all about the journey, right? Just picking more people up along the way. So you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier. So, you know, I find that a lot, you know, as jiu-jitsu is growing, as it's progressing, you know, you get some people that come in and say, you know, maybe they had some trauma or they, you know, need to feel empowered. So their focus is the self-defense. But I find that a lot of the people that we see coming in are just kind of, I'm looking to get in shape, I'm looking to, you know, feel good about myself. And then they kind of switch over to that competition path, right? And that's kind of their goal. What are your thoughts of the importance of having that self-defense? Do you think that's something, even if it's not something that you want to focus on, what are your thoughts on that?
I believe it is an essential part of it, and it should be taught to students, which is not... I know in many places or most places, I know it's not taught to students. And I believe that jiu-jitsu, like, it should be, you know, people should know how it can be used for, you know, to original idea of jiu-jitsu was like, a, you know, soft art that you can protect yourself. So very often, because of competition jiu-jitsu these days, it's kind of developing in that direction that some of the techniques are quite, could be quite dangerous in real life, you know. So you need to kind of keep it, I think, in my opinion, you need to keep it kind of, you know, yes, you can train all kinds of techniques if you're competing, this is your focus, so go and do it. But you do need to kind of relate it to real situations and what might work and what not might not, you know, things like that. Like, so yes, I think it should be taught. And like in my class, like it's because we only had like, you know, two times a week class for female only, and then they can train with men all other days as well on top of it. But so I would, you know, every time I teach something, I would stress importance. Okay, this is because we do this because of that, or this technique is good if this happens. You know, like I couldn't really have a separate day on self-defense because, as you said, some people want self-defense, some people don't, some people like it, some find it boring, because people have different goals in mind. But I think it is an essential part of it, so it should be kind of incorporated at least.
Yeah. No, I always say your gold medal's not going to mean anything if you can't defend yourself on the street.
At the end of the day, this is what it is. You know, you need to know what can work for you, and, you know, you need to train that. Yeah,
absolutely. So moving forward, what are some of your personal goals? Like, what are some, you know, you've come and you've taken your world championship medal. What's next?
It's kind of hard to say because this year is still strange. You know, it will be first year I'm not going to Europeans after maybe from 2008. So it's kind of, but I don't mind, like, as long as I can keep training and I know I'm developing. as a developing my technique or skills, and developing as a, like, you know, in a way that, like, you keep your mobility up, your fitness and all that. I don't mind, like, I can go and compete late. It's not, it doesn't bother me that much. But I'd say one of the goals would be to keep up at least like at some level throughout the years, you know, because I think it's, we are not getting younger, you know, every year and year and year and year, it's adding up. And I think it's important just to keep up training, because we have lots of amazing examples of people in kind of, you know, good age and still doing it. But I think if you, once you stop, it will be very hard to pick it up. So my advice would be, like, for everyone, just stay, have some kind of, you know, routine and keep on doing it, because this is what you love at the end of the day. And if you stop doing it, it might, you know, you might still want it, but kind of your mind might want it, but your body will tell, oh no, I'm a bit tired, I'm a bit lazy, I'm a bit not fit, like some, you know, things like that. So keep going, like I would say. You know,
yeah.
I don't even mind, like, how many medals we get. I think I'm kind of happy with what I got so far. And if I get more, yes, I will be delighted, that's for sure. But then I'd say just, you know, keep your body, like, in some, you know, like, functional mode, you know, that we can keep training. You know, if you want to compete, keep competing if you enjoy it. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. What are, I'm gonna go ahead and close out with this. You know, you've been a part of jiu-jitsu for 15 years. You've seen the evolution within Europe. What are some things that you would like to see moving forward? Where would you like to see jiu-jitsu go? You've come to the U.S. You've seen how it evolved, and where we're at in the States. But where would you like to see it go in Europe?
I think it would be, well, one of the aspects, that's for sure, it would be good to see more young kids training it. Because, like, even talking about, I teach women classes, sometimes guys as well, but, like, I don't want to overstretch, you know, like, they love it, but I say, no, that's sometimes, and mostly girls, just to give them what I didn't have as when I was a white belt, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so, and I find it very hard to get adults, female. That's because, like, you know, first of all, it is, maybe it is not for everyone, but also because girls don't like, funny enough, I didn't know that, but I discovered that in Ireland, girls don't like to sweat. It sounds crazy, isn't it? But they realize if they have to go to exercise, they need to take their makeup, they need to cut their nails, mm-hmm. they don't like sweat. So that's a kind of a problem you get, you know, like, boys have more sports when they, you know, grow, and the girls might have less sports. And then they, when they get at some age, maybe, like, I have a few girls, well, I have girls like 15, 16 years old as well. It's kind of, you know, but it's already age when it starts to get difficult, you know, to engage them. So, and I'm struggling over and over and over, and I've been teaching for 4 years, and numbers increased. Like, I started from scratch with nobody, numbers increased, and I got like 6 or 7 blue belts already, but it is very hard. So it is very hard to get motivated adults. So my, well, I would love to see more kids starting at a younger age, like they do in judo, you know, like when they're 5 or 6 or something like that, 7, but it doesn't matter. And then when they grow with the sport, you know, and when they come to get 15, 16 years old, they are, you know, they know what it is. And I think it will change for sure, like, you know, whole scenery. And there are lots of kids training, but it's just like proportion of guys is always like, you know, a lot more guys than girls anyway. So what can you do about it? You know?
Well, hopefully yes. We'll continue to see the trajectory continue along the same yeah. path as the States, because yeah. it was definitely like that. And I can definitely see the challenges that you have. But it was, like I said earlier, it's a lot of the dads now. I see a lot of the dads now bringing in the little girls.
Yeah, that's good.
But, and then now they're growing and they're turning 18 and they're turning
perfect. That's what
18,
you want.
And they're destroying the women.
that's
so
what
good.
You want. That's, yeah. Because, like, in, yeah. Like in general, in I think in Europe more than in States, but like average age of you know, of people who practice jiu-jitsu is like above average, that's for sure. Like, I don't know what's official number, but because people start later, you know, And by the times they get to some level, it's they're more like they're older. So I hope that this age kind of will shift a little bit, towards a younger age. That would be good to see.
Absolutely. And I think a lot too, like, you know, when you and I started, it was like, it was a man's world, right? So the makeup and the nails and everything didn't have a place. So you had to kind of put your femininity off to the side. And what we've seen here is, you know, there's a lot of women who still embrace their feminine side, but have this real strong side to that they use jujitsu for. So I can see that happening there. So hopefully that'll evolve on to where women
absolutely.
Can understand that, you know what, we can still be feminine, we can be beautiful.
Exactly. It has nothing to do with it. Like, yes, I can't have any nails, but I don't mind. Like, I mean, it's me, but you know, you can still have long hair. It doesn't matter. You can have makeup on. It doesn't matter. It's
you
all
can
the same.
Paint like, your nails.
And even like if they realize that having that power of kind of, you know, beating up men and then put up your makeup and a dress and look nice, it's kind of cool, isn't it?
It is. Well, it was such a pleasure. I'm so happy that we got to start off the year with you, and well, it'll just keep on this high note. So
we will. Yes, it's a great start of the year. Let's hope
very
for that.
Much so. Well, I hope I catch you next time. You're in
absolutely.
The States, or I'm over in
absolutely.
Ireland, and I'm glad
absolutely.
That we can get you involved. You're our first European. Contact, and so we hope to feature more and more international.
We keep in touch, and we get going as soon as we can.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you
today.
For asking.
No, for sure. Thank you everybody for tuning in and supporting. If you guys haven't already heard, we have some amazing upcoming classes going on with Bia Mesquita on January 9th, so tune in. That's for everybody. It's an online class. And we also have one with Sweaty Betty's. It's our United She Stands project with Jazari Matuta. So check out our online options for training at home while we are in quarantine and social distancing.
Yeah.
It is what it is, right? Hopefully this changes soon. But all right. Well, thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, we'll do some awesome stuff soon.
And Happy New Year again.
Yes, Happy New Year. Let's hope 2021 is a much
all the best.
Year.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye.